Now to a story that could spell bad news for the 28 million telecommuters in the United States. The New York State Court of Appeals ruled yesterday that a worker's eligibility for unemployment benefits should be determined by the whereabouts of the worker, not the employer. The case in question was that of Maxine Allen, who worked from her home in Orlando, Florida, for the financial information provider Reuters America, which is based in New York State. Allen telecommuted for more than a year and a half. She worked normal business hours and had daily contact with supervisors. But in 1999, her company decided to end the arrangement. Allen was offered her job back in New York, which she turned down. She applied for and was refused unemployment benefits in Florida, and later was declared ineligible for benefits in New York. Joining us to discuss this case is Jonathan Rosen, director of the New York Unemployment Project, an advocacy group that deals with unemployment insurance and workforce policy. First, have we seen anything like this before? Any existing legislation, perhaps, on the books concerning telecommuters and benefits?
Not that we know of. I mean, what's happened is, over the years, millions and millions more Americans are telecommuting, and millions more are working from home as freelancers, as temps, doing home-based work in technology and business services and media. This is really a reflection of the fact that unemployment insurance policy has stayed the same as our economy has drastically changed.
Maxine Allen, the woman who brought and lost this action, actually resigned from her position after being presented with the choice of either moving back to New York State or resigning. Would the ruling have been different if she had refused to resign and simply been terminated?
Well, in effect, it's the same thing. I mean, we would argue that she didn't actually quit. She was effectively discharged. And often the court will find that. If the situation had been in the reverse, if she had been working in New York and, say, her husband had to move to Florida for a job, it's perfectly legitimate to quit a job to follow a spouse and for any number of reasons and still qualify for benefits. In this case, they offered her something in the reverse. They'd let her work in Florida for years and years, said she had to come back or forfeit the job. So, yeah, in a sense, she quit, but it's effectively a discharge.
But what should legally be the difference between telecommuting from Orlando to New York State, on the one hand, and working out of the Orlando office of a company instead?
Legally, there's no difference. I mean, to the extent that, you know, companies all the time choose whether or not to pay their payroll taxes where they're headquartered or where they're incorporated or where that office is located. I mean, it's not uncommon that companies have, you know, a headquarters in Delaware, a major office in New York, and employees in Colorado. And, you know, they pay payroll taxes wherever they decide for them and the worker is most convenient. And at that point, you file for benefits there or where you live.
Maxine Allen chose to represent herself in this matter in court. And in fact, she's been quoted as saying that she's not going to appeal this to the federal courts because she doesn't know how to do that. Is it possible that the situation of telecommuters has, at least for the time being, been disadvantaged just because a case wasn't argued very well? And they might have come out of this better if she'd had a good lawyer.
And briefly, that might be true. But in the long run, probably in the very near term, courts or some state legislature or even Congress is going to get wise to the fact that there are nearly 30 million Americans who telecommute and that this isn't, you know, a realistic or logical or common sense decision.
How then would you appraise the significance of this decision? A quirky technical case about something that's therefore not representative of what the situation of 28 million workers is, or new law affecting a big and growing chunk of the workforce?
Well, I hope it's the first case. I hope it's something quirky and technical that people quickly sort of come to their senses and realize, you know, a huge part of our economy depends on people like Ms. Allen. And an even bigger part of our economy depends on contingent workers who work from home. And if we're going to treat them differently, then the unemployment insurance system is going to fail tens of millions of people.
Well, Jonathan Rosen, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Jonathan Rosen is director of the New York Unemployment Project. He spoke to us from our bureau in New York.